Agenda item number eight, Hog Island Bay SAV set aside area. Mr. Batcher.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
This shouldn't take too long. Hog Island Bay SAV set aside area. Staff requests authorization to reduce the seagrass restoration set aside area in Hog Island Bay, southeast of the High Shoal Marsh, by 45.18 acres, and this is in Upper Northampton County. The redefined set aside area would be 462.72 acres. The request is based on the area not being suitable to sustain submerged aquatic vegetation. Location of the project, just quad sheet, Eastern Shore, Spine, Nassauwatticks, Exmoor, Hog Island Bay, Hog Island Atlantic Ocean. A little closer view, High Shoal, Rogue Island, Hog Island, Hog Island Bay. Just a little history. At the August 2005 VMRC meeting, the commission approved a request by VIMS for 507.9 acres of area to be set aside in Hog Island Bay to initiate an eelgrass restoration effort, complementing the efforts in Spotted Crab Bay, Cobb Bay, and South Bay. Later on, you'll see VIMS' aerials show that eelgrass is surviving and spreading to the northeast. Again, this is the set-aside area that was there in 2005. In 2010, the commission set the area aside for an indefinite period of time instead of on a five-year renewal basis. This was based on the commission's ability to review, redefine, and eliminate the set-aside area on its own or at the request of the public at any time. During the January 2015 commission meeting, a public hearing was held to set aside areas in South Bay and Cobbs Bay that had been identified as suitable for SAV growth and restoration. During that public hearing, VIMS noted that that part of the Hog Island Bay SAV set-aside area was not suitable to sustain submerged aquatic vegetation, and specifically approximately 45 acres of shallow water shoal that has SAV on both sides. That shoal is in this general area right here. Based on VIMS comments, we received an oyster grant application within the Hog Island SAV set-aside area from Kristen Farlow for 150 acres. And this was back in February of 2015, which included the shallow sandy shoal area. Again, that's in this general area there. And in April of this year, we received another application for 210 acres within the Hog Island SAV set-aside area from Jonathan Turner in the area that includes SAV. And as you can see, heavy SAV in this area as it spread north into some other leased areas. In order to process with either application, the commission would need to redefine the set-aside areas for us to go forward with their applications. This is VIMS's map showing the darker green, or excuse me, the lighter green, which is what's there in 2015, and what has been there in 2009 through 15. As you can see, it's moving north, and the shoal area is right here. And this is just an overlay showing the Farlow application, the Turner application, and the shoal area again. As part of our review, we requested comments from VIMS on the status of SAV and the set-aside area and the two oyster grant applications. VIMS noted that both application areas supported a fair amount of SAV in 2015. Mr. Farlow's application, however, is bisected by the shoal, where VIMS has not mapped SAV and does not expect SAV to colonize due to its shallow nature. The application for Mr. Turner has SAV mapped on the majority of the area and has relatively dense SAV in the northwest portion. VIMS recommends only removing the 45-acre area that is too shallow to support SAV growth. Again, this is the 45-acre area that VIMS is recommending to remove. Given the fact that VIMS does not expect SAV to colonize on the shallow water shoal portion of the existing set-aside area. Staff recommends the commission redefine the set-aside area by removing the 45-acre area as recommended by VIMS. The reduced set-aside area would be 462.72 acres. And should the commission remove the 45 acres from the set-aside area, staff would submit Mr. Farley's application to our standard public interest review for Worcester Ground and terminate Mr. Turner's application since it would still be inside the redefined set-aside area and could not be leased. That's pretty much it. Quick and dirty.
Questions from the commission? Mr. Packard.
Since this is a set-aside area, a sanctuary of sorts, is there going to be any complication maintaining or monitoring the set-aside area with this slice of pie taken out of it, Mr. Badger?
I would think not. VIM supplies this on a yearly basis, and we get reports from VIMS whenever there's a conflict where SAV has come in over top of leases and so forth, and the leases have put cages in. We're notified of it. We try to work with people.
Mm-hmm. Any other questions from the commission? Mr. Erskine.
So in the far low 150 acres there that has the 45-acre bisected, let's say that that's returned and that's then the application for that oyster ground moves forward, or the lease ground, and Mr. Farlow decides to propagate shellfish. Then all of a sudden the SAV decides to come into that area. What's the procedure then?
A regulation basically says that you cannot put cages or structures on top of SAV. So I guess the gets into the chicken or the egg. As long as the structure is there, in this area, I think you're fine. If you remove the structure or the clam beds or nets, and then it takes over with SAV, I don't think you can come back in because then you're putting a structure on top of SAV.
Okay. So
Ms. Erskine.
So that would be followed or tracked, I guess, on a year-by-year basis. It seems to me with the green, the various shades of green, seems like, you know, it can come and go, and maybe what we're talking about for SAV could be better defined, and every year might be different. So, Mr. Farlow, would be subject to a review every year. That seems kind of intense.
This is an area that VIMS has decided will not colonize SAV because of the shallowness of it. I believe if VIMS thought that there was any indication that it was going to eventually be deep enough, they wouldn't be recommending removing it from the SAV. You can see over in this area over here, it's probably a little deeper, but I suspect they are thinking that it will eventually colonize and go this direction. That's why they're not interested in removing this portion.
Thank you.
Mr. Ballard.
To be clear, I'm from this specific issue of the 45 acres, I'm going to be abstaining, as Mr. Farlow is an employee of my company. But I do think Mr. Erskine's addressing a broader issue, and one that my phone has not stopped ringing probably for the past year, about some of the conflict of interest occurring with SAV on the Bayside and the Seaside of the Eastern Shore. And I think we've heard comments at the commission before. I think it'd be wise for this commission to take a look at its policies and possibly report back on possible changes and give this board a chance to review the SAV policies. I specifically have heard of some cases recently where someone has invested a lot in oyster cages, built some upland infrastructure, and all of a sudden some grass has appeared around their oyster cages and they're being forced to move their entire operation. I think it's something this commission needs to take a closer look at, and I would move that we review those policies and that staff present to this commission any possible recommendations of changes.
All right. Well, I hear what you're saying, Mr. Ballard. Here, let's separate these into two different issues. The first one, the set-aside, and then let's talk a little bit more about a better look-see at the policies on SAV and cage impacts.
Sure.
So to that end, is there other commission questions on the staff recommendation here? Okay, let me throw this out to the public. Is there anybody in the public in the audience who wishes to testify on this matter of the SAB set-aside area off of Hog Island? Seeing none, the public hearing is closed, and the matter is before the commission for this set-aside area. Mr. Tankard.
Well, I think there's a need for more ground. For folks, there is an application, and at this point, at this moment, by Mr. Farlow to take up this ground, and I think it would be wise for us to remove this 45 acres so that it could be taken up for shellfish propagation. So I move that we remove the 45 acres from this Hog Island set aside.
Second.
It's a motion by Mr. Tankard and a second by Mr. Erskine. Any discussion on the motion?
Just a comment that we'll address the oyster lease stuff later, or the shellfish, the bottom lease later. But if VIMS does not object to removing this 45 acres, then I have no problem with that. So that's my only comment.
And VIMS has no objection that we've heard.
Then I'll support that.
Any other discussion on the motion? I'll call the question. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any noes? Chair votes aye as well. The motion passes unanimously.
I abstained for the record.
The motion passes unanimously with Mr. Ballard's abstention. Let the record so note. Now let's return to the matter of SAV versus structures in the aquaculture industry. Mr. Ballard, what would you like?
I'd like staff to review current policies, present current policies, also have a option for public input on ways we could amend those policies to be more friendly to the growing aquaculture industry, as well as get VIMS input to see whether they think the policies are still valid and ways we can increase SAV as well while still encouraging aquaculture.
This strikes me as a perfect forum for discussion of shellfish by the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee to review all the current policies and practices and to report back to the commission with recommendations on changes with staff's input. Does that work for you?
I think that sounds good.
As I remember, the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee is chaired by Mr. Erskine. Mr. Erskine, is this good for you?
Correct, sir. That sounds terrific.
That's what you get for volunteer. No, wait, you didn't volunteer.
And
Mr. Neal.
While they're reviewing this lease bottom stuff, I think they should also consider the use plan issue. Is that clear enough? You know what I'm talking about.
I do know what you're talking about there.
If I can ask for clarification, are you referring to the use plan that's currently in place as a questionnaire, as it pertains to SAV and oyster ground, or
as
overall?
Overall, as of right now, we lease bottom. We have no mechanism to unlease bottom. And so, which is stuff I'm learning now, which is amazing.
After 10 years, right.
We have no, so the use plan that we've got out of Richmond now is unworkable. It's useless. It'd be useless use plan. And so I think the leasing process is something that can be streamlined.
Mr. Neal, I hear exactly where you're coming from, and I think I know exactly where you want to go, but I would suggest that that's a bit premature. The work group that's working on the issues in the Lynn Haven River system have yet to come to a cohesive, to coalesce around recommended paths forward. And when that comes to be, I think that's the perfect time and the opportunity for the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee to take a crack and take a whack and to flesh it out before coming to the commission. And I believe that, as I recall, Mr. Erskine is the chairman of the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee.
Correct again.
Are you willing to belay that until that process runs its course and we have a better idea of what the work group's universe of issues and recommendations will be?
We can. I guess we can discuss it more. I guess my concern is that I think this really is a statewide issue, and the work group wants to focus on a river. And if the statewide issue was taken care of, I think the river issue would have gone away. We wouldn't have it. I don't think discussing it in two venues would be bad. Eventually, it's going to come towards the commission, hopefully.
Well, I suspect that eventually we'll go towards the General Assembly.
Right.
Because I think that would be the forum that would recommend or be the way to change the code to give potential benefits to the to that entire issue. Mr. Ballard.
I'm certainly aware of Mr. Neal's concerns and agree that that needs to be looked at. However, I've seen things fail in the past because they get too complicated and too many pieces involved. I'd like to just make a motion for the Shellfish Management Committee to SMAC to study current SAV policy, seek input from VIMS, industry, recreational users of the waterways, and make recommendations for changes to current policies if they see fit. I'd like that to just be the motion for now.
Second.
I'm not sure this really requires a motion as much as it does a consensus on the direction.
Yeah, I think that's fine. I think that discussion's fine.
The other major issue that's facing the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee is a potential recommendations or not on a limited entry public oyster fishery, which is something that the commission requested be worked on for recommendations at the August meeting. So they already have a really major contentious issue on their plate now.
Sounds like they need to meet more often.
Aren't you glad you didn't
maybe
volunteer for
Fridays
next meeting?
Fridays would be a good day to make me feel better.
Currently, it's every 2 weeks. Hopefully, right. It doesn't get much more frequent.
All right, I'm okay with that thing. I thought you were once a month. Every 2 weeks is pretty good.
Dr. Weston, did you have something to add? Did I swear you in earlier, sir? Did I swear you in earlier, Tim?
Yes, I did.
Okay, thank you.
I don't think SMAC has the expertise to do this. I think the committee that we had that looked at the leasing would be the best mix of people for doing that stuff. But we don't have anybody on the Eastern Shore that has leases that even knows about SAV. So.
On the other hand, SMAC is a good forum here, and the
yeah.
folks that have a direct stake.
Yeah, but that task force had a better expertise.
I very much hesitant to have a Lynn Haven work group on one shellfish issue, the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee working on another shellfish issue, and that old task force reconstituted to work on yet a third shellfish-related issue. So I'll lose track of which meeting I'm supposed to be in involving shellfish if we have three of these going at the same time. Commission, you got some guidance? Either way, we have a motion and a second here to refer.
Like I said, I don't think we need a motion. I think you can just go ahead and direct SMAC to talk about the.
Mr. Luckenbach, can you help us out here?
I don't know. Maybe I'll with Lyle and myself discussing it, would note that we also have a Habitat Management Committee, and this seems to be something that might justifiably involve both of those committees working jointly, not separately. I don't know how that will work for you functionally. We see this as a shellfish issue. We see it as a habitat issue. I also, while I'm here, want to add Mr. Ballard's motion was fairly explicit, and I realize you don't need one, but I would encourage you to have DEQ because SAV plays under water quality standards, and I would encourage you to have the Army Corps of Engineers at least, if not at the table, that in charging the staff to do a review of this, you said the policies, it needs to include DEQ, it needs to include the Army Corps of Engineers. You don't want, if your policies, if the recommendations you come up with run very afoul of either one of those groups, then you're back at the starting point. You're in the situation now that the Corps accepts the leasing and permitting that you do and accepts your policy with respect to SAV. And I don't speak for the industry, but I wouldn't want to have to be going through two totally different things but at the end of the day where the Corps is not accepting or where DEQ is battling with respect to the
Thank you, Mark. I think that's a helpful suggestion here, and I think that can be accomplished at the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee with those two entities having input on this issue. And I would feel pretty comfortable both would come to the table here with probably some ideas. And I think the point that we could get in front of ourselves here and run up with a problem with either one of those organizations on the back end wouldn't be helpful to anybody. So how about we refer all this to the Shellfish Management Advisory Committee, which already has a lot to do. Mr. Erskine, is that good for you?
Yes, sir. Always looking for more work.
Well, then, so it shall be. Thank you, sir, very much for volunteering.